Fantastic. Go for it, Spider. Thank you
Okay,
very
I'm
much.
Spider-Man Attic.
Hi,
Sorry,
Spider.
I
Hi,
don't.
Spider.
Hi, Spider.
Hi, Spider.
Hi, Spider.
I don't have a phenomenal voice right now because I'm having lung issues. I just recently had a on Monday they did an ablation on my heart, and I was part of the 5% that have major problems after that. So I've just recently come out. I came out of the hospital yesterday, but I've been dealing with chronic illness for probably the last 45 or 50 years. Even before I got clean, I had physical problems, but once I got clean, they manifested themselves much faster and greater. And back in the 70s, they were pretty rigid about stuff. They weren't as rigid, but I had a lot of people around me that didn't know what to do with me because they could see I was in chronic pain, and I wasn't necessarily able to get any doctors to pay attention to me. Or I had a guy that said he was a doctor and said that he was going to be able to help me, and I was about a month out from surgery, and then I found out he was an intern and he didn't have any credentials that were going to allow me to have surgery, although I'm grateful they found out, because that would have been a really scary place to be if somebody's cutting on me that didn't know what they were doing. So I had that. I have some diseases. They're not hereditary, but I've had them since birth, and they didn't manifest until my late teens, probably my late teens, early 20s. So that's been an ongoing battle with that. I've had multiple surgeries around that. And in doing that, I've had to take medication, and there's been a lot of misunderstanding by certain individuals in the fellowship. I moved south in the early 80s to get away from the cold weather because that would screw in with me really hard. I would get stuck in the house pretty much when it was real cold out. So I moved to Florida with about 7 years clean, and was met with a lot of resistance and being told that I wasn't clean and that I needed to pick up a white chip. I basically told that person, have you ever had this happen? They're like, no. And I said, then I'm really not interested in what you have to say. I did have a small group of people around me that were willing to have my back, and with the illness came real severe bouts of depression and anxiety around trying to get somebody to treat it because they really didn't know what to do with me. They didn't, There was talk about removing organs. There was talk about removing other parts of my body and completely changing how I would be able to function daily. And, every time that they talked about that, I would always ask, is this going to resolve the problem? And I would get, we think so. So I decided to stick with the pain rather than let somebody experiment on me that really didn't know what they were doing. As a result of that, I had a lot of doctors that wanted to poke and prod me because I was not the normal specimen, as they would say. So I had a lot of that going on. I went to a very prominent hospital here in Florida, and they interviewed me about what was going on. And after the interview was over, I looked in the eye and I said, "So what do you think?" And he said, "If you commit suicide in the next month, it wouldn't surprise me in the least bit." And I had about a 4-hour ride home, and I got to think about that the whole 4 hours. And it was pretty crazy. again, you know, like I said, at that time I had maybe four or five people around me that understood what was going on and supported me, but I didn't have a lot. And as a result of that, I got a lot of flack. You know, and it got to the point where I just couldn't share in meetings about it because I didn't want to deal with the repercussions of it. Anything from somebody coming out and telling me their uncle had it, or their brother had it, or their dad had it, and they survived this, that, or the other thing, or that I wasn't clean and I needed to pick up a white chip. So I was taught really early on with medication that if it says one every 6 hours, that's one every 6 hours. And if it takes more than that, I need to go to the white chip. And I've been down the road where people have suggested that I have other people hold my medication. Well, then it becomes a game of whether they think I deserve it or not. And I'm not, I don't need that in my life. And at one point, I was probably about, I don't know, probably 10 years clean. And some folks in the fellowship said, you know, if you have to go ahead and self-medicate, we'll understand. So I got co-signed by the people in NA to go get high, and it still wasn't a good enough reason to go do it. But, I mean, it, you know, a lot of people in this room realize what it's like to have chronic pain or major pain and know that they're probably not going to give you anything that's going to touch it. And I'm real cautious about that with doctors because I don't want to wear out my Walkmart. I don't want to get to the point where I was early on with problems where I had doctors that wouldn't prescribe me any medication. They'd send me to the ER and have the ER doctor do it. But the local hospitals got wise to that and stopped doing that. You know, so, I mean, now I'm a diabetic. I got glaucoma. I have skin cancer. I have reflux. I have esophageal spasms. What else am I missing? I think that's it. I got a lot of shit that goes on with me on a day-to-day basis, and I'm really active. I do a lot of things. I don't sit on my ass. I'm still working. And you know, the difference now is if I don't feel good, I'm not going to work. It's, yeah. You know, there were days where I would go into work sick almost every day, in one way, shape, or form. And you know, the only time I didn't go to work is when I couldn't get out of bed, or I was so sick that I was in the restroom constantly. But now it's like, if I don't feel good, I stay home. I'm just not willing to risk it. You know, so this meeting really saved my life. Somebody turned me on to it 6 years ago, and it made a humongous difference in my life. It's the only place I know that I can come and I can share about what's going on with me, and nobody's going to judge me in here. Or if they judge me, they're going to be quiet about it. You know, I always tell people, listen, if you don't understand what's going on with me, just come talk to me and I'll tell you how this works for me. I don't necessarily expect anybody to understand it if they don't have it. And, you know, I've been willing to give people examples of what they could be up against if they have some of the illnesses I have, but nobody wants to do that. As soon as I explain how we're going to give them a sample of what it's like. So, and I've learned to live with the diseases. You know, I've managed to stay clean a really long time. A week ago, Monday, I celebrated 48 years continuous clean time. And I still go to meetings on a regular basis because I still hear stuff today that I've never heard before. And it makes me chuckle in meetings, but it's really interesting because there's a lot more to be heard. You know, with the onset of somebody turning me on to online meetings, I've got to meet people and get to know people that I would never possibly meet otherwise. This group in particular, I can be in a really shitty space and I can come in here and all I need to do is hear your voices and I start to calm down because I realize that there's somebody that understands. And it's really hard because, you know, you get a bunch of clean time and nobody questions your behavior anymore. And nobody goes, do you think this is my, I have a support group of three or four people that I call that will tell me if my shit stinks, which is really good. But I didn't have that here at home. I didn't have it in my local area. You know, I think I truly think the face-to-face meetings tolerate me because I've been clean so long. But I am not well liked by a bunch of them. Alessandra hooked up a I read a feed a couple of days ago where some folks that have a little less than I do that were being called relics in the business meetings they were in. And I'm like, yeah, they probably look at me like I'm a relic. You know, or I wasn't even alive when you got clean. And I get that stuff too. And it's like, sometimes it's a dig and sometimes it isn't. And I don't really get concerned about it because I didn't get clean for anybody else. I get clean for me. You know, and part of me being clean for me means that I have to pass it on. And I'm not going to stop passing it on until somebody tells me I'm not supposed to. And I ain't seen no burning bushes recently, so I guess I'm going to have to keep doing what I'm doing. But, you know, it's really important for the folks that have chronic pain or have illnesses that aren't going to go away, have someplace safe to go and talk about it and not have anybody judge them. And this particular meeting has that. And I feel very blessed to be a part of this meeting. I don't always get here. And some days when I do get here, I'm doing great and everything's wonderful. And other days I get here and I'm just as miserable as shit. But, you know, there's nothing says that I can't go to a meeting. I mean, I was in meetings while I was in the hospital the last couple of days. I fell asleep in one and I found another one that was like a bunch of outcasts from NA, which was kind of fun. And you know, this is the thing. I never realized how isolated I was in the town I live in until I started going online and started finding, you know, a bunch of people because it's, you know, it's been a long time where I've been the guy with the most clean time in the area. And I get to go in meetings now where, there's guys that have 5, 6, 7, 10 years more than I do, and they don't have the ego that goes with it. Well, some of them do, but you know, that's just God showing me an alternative lifestyle I could be stuck in, and I should be grateful that I'm not. And when people don't understand what's going on with me, it's okay for them not to understand because they haven't experienced. So. NA has taught me that if I have a problem, I go find the people that have had that type of problem, and I pick their brains, and I'll find out, you know, what I need to know. I didn't do this with the ablation, which I probably should have, because the doc was like, "Oh, it's easy, in and out, you'll be fine, no problem," and I'm like, "Yeah, not so much," you know. But even with all this, it's not worth using. Over. There's nothing worth using over. That for me, there isn't. And I've had a lot of options where I could have done it and could have got it co-signed. And I chose not to because I know what addiction does to me. I mean, it still fucking talks to me every goddamn day. And now it's not about getting high because it probably my first 5 or 10 years, my concern was if I used, I was going to die. And then my concern was that I wouldn't be able to come back. And now my concern is that I'll get out there and I won't get high at first. And I'll have to do a lot more. And I'll probably do too much. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Thanks for letting me come in and share.